Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You've probably heard the expression, the right place, but the wrong time. We're getting closer to daylight savings time, which is March 8th, a month away, by the way, when the clock springs forward in spring. Now, I won't mention any names, and I have multiple names to mention, but we've had a few people show up an hour early or an hour late for church services on daylight savings time. Now, don't get me wrong, it was great that they were here, but I think that they wished that they would have been here on time. Right place, but the wrong time. Now, timing can mean everything. The issue of timing plays a very important role in our scripture readings today. God's people rightly expect God to help them, but they often get frustrated or even upset when God doesn't help them fast enough. In Isaiah chapter 40, for example, the Jews are desperate because they are homeless and they feel hopeless. They wonder where God is and why he won't answer. They say, "Our way is hidden from the Lord, and our right is disregarded by our God." But Isaiah responds, "Don't you know? Haven't you heard? Yahweh is the everlasting God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and he doesn't give up, and he doesn't grow tired. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will walk and not faint." In other words, God is saying, just because I haven't saved you yet doesn't mean that I've abandoned you. Hold on a little longer. Trust me, I will save you. In the gospel reading, Jesus is preaching the good news, healing the sick, driving out demons, and generally doing a lot of good things in Capernaum. In fact, he was gaining notoriety. But early in the morning, Jesus, we read, got up and went off to a solitary place to pray, to seek the will of God, not the will of the people. Now, Simon Peter and some of the other disciples find Jesus praying by himself and say something like, "Everyone is looking for you. Why aren't you doing anything today? There's more sick people and more people to hear you preach. This is great stuff, so why not keep up the good work?" But Jesus says, more or less, "It is good work, but it's the right thing, but it's no longer the right time." Jesus says, "Let us go now and preach somewhere else." After all, that is why Jesus came. He knew he came to preach repentance and the coming kingdom of God to Israel, but he needed to do it to all of Israel, not just to the town of Capernaum. Jesus is a king. He's the Messiah, and like many politicians, he has a campaign to run, we might say. And he can't just set up shop and work only solely from Capernaum. Like a good president or governor, he's not going to do all his work from one location. He plans to go out to visit, to preach, and to speak to those all over Israel, especially those who are hurting or in trouble. Jesus is doing something very good in Capernaum, so why would he leave? Didn't he care about those sick folks? Didn't he want to preach to people who were lining up outside the door to listen? Aren't those all good things? Yes, they were good things, but God had an even bigger and better thing planned. Jesus knew that he had a call that he had to keep moving towards Calvary, towards his suffering and death, towards defeating not just one case of illness or one case of death, but of overthrowing death and sin and the devil entirely. In our own lives, God sometimes has a bigger purpose than the one we have in mind. Jesus cares not only about our immediate circumstances, our immediate problems and struggles. He cares for our souls, for our eternal welfare. And sometimes he teaches us important lessons through less than pleasant means. Jesus does heal. He does help and save. But he doesn't always heal us exactly when we ask him to. And unfortunately, as sinful human beings, we don't always trust God like we should either. Instead, sometimes we try to correct God. I can't deal with this anymore. Don't let this happen to me, God. I've dealt with it long enough. Fix it already. However, faith is more than simply believing that God exists, but it's being willing to trust him and wait for him to act in his time. And I think maybe an overlooked, but perhaps one of the biggest obstacles both to faith and to waiting in our life today is not it's not another religion. It's not. There's a lot of things we might think of immediately, but I think one of the biggest obstacles we face today is entertainment. The way entertainment has permeated our society, it seems like to me, thinking about it, one of the most important cultural values in our culture is not necessarily religion or even politics, but entertainment. Why else do the Super Bowl and Hollywood shenanigans grab all the headlines and dominate so much of our free time? Something, it seems like to me anyway, something is out of whack when we find all kinds of time for watching television or surfing the web, but we're too busy to spend time with our neighbors or invest in our community or focus much less on God's word or Christian fellowship. We're so sometimes addicted to being entertained that we seem literally imprisoned, acting as if we're physically unable to move away from our televisions or our computer screens, as if we're permanently shackled to our iPhones and smart pads. Now, technology can be a good thing, but the problem is we're so used to being entertained in all our free moments that it sometimes makes just a few minutes of waiting feel like the end of the world. And unfortunately, all this entertainment can only distract us. It can't really make our problems go away. It just puts them temporarily on hold until they grow so big that they're unmanageable and impossible to ignore. And sometimes we become so entertainment-oriented as that we begin to feel and act as if we truly are incapable of waiting, especially incapable of waiting for God to act in his time. But don't worry, you all are capable of waiting. We are all capable of waiting. In fact, for better or for worse, God goes out of his way sometimes to remind us of that, teaching us the very last lesson that we want to learn, patience. Sometimes he teaches us patience through a disappointment, sometimes through suffering, sometimes through our family or friends. It's never really very fun, but if we allow God to work in our lives and lean on him, he can and does use even these bad things, these sometimes bad things, to develop our character, perseverance, and our faith. All of us need God's help desperately in our life, but we rarely realize this until things are obviously and frighteningly beyond our control. Some people are attracted to the faith or to Christ because they get the false impression that Jesus will help fix their problems faster, that they'll get what they want quicker. But the opposite is actually more likely to be true in this life. Jesus teaches us, after all, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow him, to repent of our selfishness, to learn to live not by bread alone, but by the words and promises of the Lord. Jesus told us, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. And Jesus knew exactly what he was talking about. After all, he had plenty of trouble in this world. And yet he bore his cross without complaint, because he knew that it was God's will that through his death and sacrifice, many would be saved. He endured suffering and waited for the sake of God and for our sake to help God's people. And when we focus on the cross ourselves, we see that there are troubles in this world, some caused by us, some caused by others. But we also see that God is faithful to redeem and save his people. Of course, simply mentioning the word waiting or patience is scary to some of us, myself included. Some of us simply hate sitting still and waiting for anything. Well, the good news is Paul gives us another metaphor to get at the problem another way. He also talks about running and running with perseverance. Paul reminds us that runners run harder typically when they have a goal, when there's a finish line in sight. People typically play harder when they're playing in a game, not just practicing by themselves. Well, Paul reminds us that we too are not just practicing, but we have the game is on the line. Our lives have a purpose and a finish line. God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. Our life won't end in meaningless death, but in our salvation and in the redemption of the world, when God will make all things new and put all things right. And we don't have to wait until we die for these things to begin to take place. Of course, Christ alone can truly accomplish those things, and it's only on the day when Jesus returns when they will be completed in full. But one of the ways in which God brings about hope and healing is that through you and me, through his church today, in our congregation, in our relationships with one another, and through God's power, through the Holy Spirit, God's kingdom is seen in his people on earth when we love as he loved us. We are a preview, a foretaste of the good news that God is redeeming and transforming this world, beginning with you and me. And so we are encouraged in all our scripture readings to wait and to keep running. In Jesus' name, amen.